As most of you know, Brother Scott is our associate pastor, and God has laid something on his heart to share this morning. So just welcome Brother Scott. He's going to come and share what God has given him. Amen.
As Lewis said, I had something the Lord was dealing with me about. A couple weeks ago, actually, it was a verse that Lewis gave just in passing as he was doing the message. As doing so, that scripture, the Lord's like, write that scripture down. I want you to go back to it. I want you to study that. And actually, that section of scripture. So I'm going to read that real quick here. It's from 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if these are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you have these things, you will never stumble. Amen. And it was at 10, therefore, if you be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. As we study these scriptures, I was going through here and I memorized, I wrote down, I went through these verses and these virtues, these attributes of Christian life, and I've been going over those. As I started doing this, I thought the Lord was going to have me go through that and show that, to open it to you as he was doing to me. But as I got going on this, I noticed he had me back up and reading in, again, starting earlier in chapter 1, starting with verse 2. This is Peter again speaking. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus, our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I noticed the first thing the Lord pointed out to me is the attributes listed in 5 through 10, the first part there. We're adding to those things. We're to do the addition. But when you back up, it says all these things were in the past tense. It has been given. You have been given. Having escaped. You've already escaped. You've already been given these things. So why do we currently have to add to them? See, Peter wants to make clear that Jesus' power has already been given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. We have already been given these things. Yet he still tells us to add to it. Add to our virtue. Add to virtue. Add to our faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge, self-control. We go through and add all these things to these. But we've already got these promises. It's almost seems contradictory. And what it is Peter tells us in the last part that why does we need to do this? So that we can make our calling and election sure, and that we will never stumble. Because that seems to be the thing as Christians. That's an excuse that a lot of people use. Oh, we're just human beings. We're fallen people, imperfect people following a perfect God. So we're going to stumble. And I'm not here today to tell anyone that after today you will never stumble again, after what I show you here. That's not going on here. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not pointing to myself as any kind of example of who you follow. There's only one you should follow, and that's Jesus. But he says, if you be more diligent, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. He calls us diligence is what bookend this. This is what the Lord showed me. Is we start with that if we be diligent to add these things, and at the end, be more diligent. And what does diligent mean? We blow by that word, and kind of it's one of those fancy Bible words. What does it mean? It means to pay attention or something like that. And I was struggling, what's a good example of being diligent? We're all diligent drivers, right? We all do a good job. We try to. Hopefully. But have you ever gone to a strange city? Has anybody ever driven in Manhattan? I actually got the chance to do that one time. You have to be really diligent there. There's a million people in an area about a third the size of Corpus. You got to be really diligent. Another example came to my mind. You're all very diligent drivers, but when you go by the parking lot and a police officer pulls out behind you, do you become just a little bit more diligent when you see a cop behind you? I was surprised to find this out. People who are under 40 or 35, you may not relate to this, but all of us that are over 40, remember when you went to get your driver's license and you had to do the driving test and they came and sat in the car with you? See, I took my son to do that, and it was a lady from the driver's license office went with him. A state official was riding with him. I'm sure he was a little bit diligent, but I remember when I took mine, and probably most of you can relate to this, it was a trooper, badge, gun, hat on the dash, looking at, he puts his seatbelt on, he's got the clipboard, and I was very diligent when I took my driver's test. It's paying attention to something that's really important because you don't want to get in trouble for missing. That's what Peter's telling us to do here. You want to be diligent because even greater than a DPS trooper is living inside you all times. The Holy Spirit's present at all times. So we need to be diligent about that. But we've already received it. So why do we need to be diligent? Didn't Jesus finish it on the cross? Yes, he did. But that has to do, verses 2 through 4, that has to do with our spirit, with our relationship to God. That's settled. God sees, when God looks at us, we sing that one song, when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. Our sins are covered by the blood. But you notice none of us said the prayer and were instantly taken up to heaven. When we said that prayer, when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when I did it at 17 years old, somewhere right over here, when I did that, the Lord said, good, now I've got something for you to do. In order to do that, I need you to be more diligent. I need you to be more diligent. You're not going to become the perfect Christian. As I was reading this, another phrase from a kind of important document came to mind. The Constitution, the preamble says you're going to build a... They said they're going to build a more perfect union. These guys knew the English language. They had control of the English language. They didn't say we're going to build the perfect union. We're going to build a perfect union. They said they're going to build a more perfect union. More perfect. Perfect was a journey, not a destination. And that's what this is. We're to be more diligent. Diligence isn't the destination. Diligence is our journey. And we're to be more diligent, moving forward. Moving forward in the grace that God has given us. Too many Christians will grab this, and I want to be careful. I'm going to come back to this several times as I talk today. Too many people will look at this as an updated Ten Commandments. Oh, if I just sit down and I have faith and I have virtue and I have knowledge and I have self-control and I have perseverance and I'm going to do all these things. And this becomes a new Ten Commandments. And there's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments, but we begin to worship the commandments. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They worshiped the law instead of the lawgiver. So these don't become a set of principles that, if I just do these eight things, I'm going to become the perfect Christian. No, you're not going to become the perfect Christian. But you can be more diligent to become a more perfect Christian. You don't have to stumble. That's the point. You don't have to stumble. Stumbling isn't built into the Christian life. It's not something we have to live with. We can move past it. And one of the problems with trying to move past it is we have a Western way of thinking. We look at a calendar. We build timelines of events. It's linear thinking. Everything's building on one another. And in Eastern thinking, particularly in the ancient Israel, it's more cyclical. It's like that's why the clock is round. It's 11:30. 11:30 is going to come around later on this evening, and then again tomorrow. It just comes around again. So we have to get a mindset where we can take the lessons from yesterday and build on them. Success or failure doesn't matter. You can learn from either one. We can plan for tomorrow, Lord willing, but the only thing that we can do, the only day in which we can operate is today. We can't operate in yesterday. We can't operate in tomorrow. We can only operate in today. Today is what we need to focus on. And we have to cooperate with God as we do this. These verses kind of reminded me, God's given you all these things, but you need to be diligent to add to them. It reminds me of Philippians 2:13, where it says, "For it's God who's working in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." God is working in us. Cooperating with him is our job. Cooperating with the Holy Spirit, allowing him to add to this. For starters, we need to get rid of that linear idea of progress. It's kind of like that movie Groundhog Day. Any of you remember seeing that? It seems kind of monotonous, almost punishment that he's living the same day over and over again. But there comes a certain phase in this, in the movie, where he gives into it. He learns to play an instrument. He learns to poetry. He's doing it for the wrong reason to meet a girl, but he can invest himself in these things because he knows yesterday doesn't matter and tomorrow, in his case, isn't coming. So the only thing he has is today. And at a point, it becomes freeing to realize that it's today. There's so many of us don't get started on something because it's like, it'll take so many years to accomplish that. It'll take me years to finish a degree. It'll take me to start reading the whole Bible. That's going to take, you know, a year. It's going to, we get stuck in this mindset. And I started thinking about this. You know, a person whose sobriety, whatever his addiction is, when he's got his 10-year chip or coin, whatever that is, he didn't start out to become 10 years sober. That was never his goal. His goal was to stay sober today until he had 3,650 todays. And that adds up to 10 years. And thousands of todays will add up to your Christian life. So don't worry about yesterday. Did you fail? How did you fail? Learn your lesson. Moving forward. Did you succeed? Did you have a great success? Awesome. How did you make that success happen? Hint, you didn't. God did. How did you plug into God? How did you draw close to God? And how can you do that today? Learn the lesson, but don't live in it. You know, we have far too many things to accomplish. We're far too busy to do things, and we need to move past the whatever's been done and move forward, thinking about what we can do today. And the thing is, we have these attributes have been given to us. We can add to them, but it's like a fresh delivery is made every morning to us. Every morning, a fresh delivery of these virtues is given to us every morning. It's like having your own little UPS delivery. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Praise God. Because of his compassions, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning. See, that's one of the things. Also in Israel, you realize morning is, the day is halfway done. The mornings start at night. Or the days, I should say, start at night. So halfway through your day, when it's morning, you get a fresh batch of virtue, faith, perseverance. See, if we think about it from our mindset, it'd be like his mercies are new every afternoon. If we think about from our the way we measure time, it's like every afternoon his mercies are new. I just make it to lunchtime. Good, then here's a fresh batch. That's how they think of time. Every morning is halfway through the day. And then we can choose to open these envelopes every morning that we receive of faith, virtue, perseverance, self-control. Oh no, self-control, that sounds a little bit like discipline. I'll open that one tomorrow. Brotherly kindness, I don't know. Did you see what their politician said on TV? Did you see what that pastor said on TV? Did you hear what this one said on the radio? I don't know if I like I don't know if I'm going to open brotherly kindness today. They're not choices. If you want to have these things and never stumble, what does Paul tell us? You add these things daily. You're diligent. That's what diligence means. You're adding to them daily. You're opening all 8 envelopes every day and adding them together and then starting your day. See, when the Lord gave me this, I went to different translations. I've read it in several different translations, and I've read especially my Amplified, and I went to the Greek, and I went and did word studies of where you find all these things. And I thought that when the Lord told me to bring this to you guys, I was going to do the same thing. But then he pointed out to me, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do that for you today. See, Lewis and I, we're pastors. We're shepherds. I'm going to show you where the good pasture land is. This is some good pasture land in 2 Peter. I'm opening the gate. Now you get to go in there and feed. Go feed. See, if you want these things, you want to be diligent about them, you can do what I did. First thing, I started off by I memorized them. And again, don't do this as a religious exercise. If you think of like, well, I do these things because I'm going to get points with God. You've already got all the points with God you ever need. He gave you his son. You are set with God. It's not about you and God. It's not about you making an impression with God. It's about you being fruitful and you not stumbling. So, mindset, going in, memorize these 8 things. Read them in a different translation. If you have a Bible app on your phone, you can find a different translation on there. Every day, read it. Then you can go in and do a word study. You can do things like that. That's how you can be diligent about it. See, a diligent prayer isn't, Heavenly Father, add to my faith virtue, add to my virtue self-control, and the rest of the stuff, thank you, amen. That wasn't a diligent prayer. That's not diligent. A diligent prayer is you, faith. What does it mean to have faith? What does it mean to trust in God? Virtue. How does virtue differ from godliness? Self-control, perseverance. How do these things, what do they mean? How do they differ from one another? Why does he list them? Because obviously there must be a difference between virtue and godliness, or perseverance and self-control. There must be shades of difference in these things, otherwise Peter wouldn't have listed them out. Ink was expensive. Paper was expensive. He wasn't just trying to fill a gap. He listed them for a reason. So get with God. What is that reason? That's diligence. That's pushing in to understand, why did he give us these 8? And maybe you don't like Peter. Maybe you're a fan of Paul. Paul has a list over in Galatians. You can pull the fruits of the Spirit and use that. But I'm just telling you, this is some good ground. This is a good pasture. Don't just take what I'm hearing today, write a couple notes, and then move on with your day. I'm telling you, if you don't want to stumble, because you don't want to stumble. None of us want to stumble. None of us wake up in the morning and go, well, today I'm going to stumble 3 times. Better than my 4 yesterday, I'm going to be good. And moving on. No, we don't want to stumble. None of us desire to stumble. None of us get saved and go, well, I'm saved. I'm pretty sure I'm going to stumble through the rest of my life, but it's going to be good. No, we don't want to stumble because we want to make our calling and election sure. That's what Peter tells us, right? What is our calling and election? See, I can't tell you what your calling and election is. I'll pray with you about it. We can discuss it. We can have a conversation. But everybody's calling and election is different. Who are you called to minister to? What is your ministry that you've been called to? You need to find out. I can tell you, if you want to quote to me, you want to ask, what do you think my calling is? What I think God wants me to do something. Like, okay, well, do you have faith? I have faith. Have you added virtue to it? Have you added knowledge? Have you added perseverance? Have you added self-control? Have you added these things? Have you made adding those things habitual? And not a religious habit, but a diligent habit. So you have to be careful that these things don't become a religious habit. This isn't a roadmap. This is one the Lord gave you. This isn't a roadmap. These are trail markers. They're little trail markers to mark your as you go along. Am I hitting? Oh, there I go. I'm hitting virtue. There's knowledge. There's perseverance. I'm moving forward. It's not a roadmap that we can follow. We don't want this to become our new religion. We never want to emphasize the word over the living word. The words are never more important than the word. So being diligent, it's paying attention, it's meditating on these things. Not just your morning prayer, your prayer time throughout the day, when you have time before God. When you have quiet time, opening the Bible. And I know it's hard to find quiet time nowadays. But you can eke some out if you're being diligent. If you're really being diligent and if you really want to not stumble, you'll eke out some time. Because we want to fulfill that calling and election that the Lord has given each and every one of us. As long as we're still on this earth, we have a calling and election. We're not too young. We're not too old. We're not too anything. If the Lord has allowed you another day on this earth, you have a calling and an election. To make it sure, you need to be diligent. That's what Peter's telling us here. You know, people will want to memorize this, and they'll want to, I've memorized all 8 of those Greek words. Aren't I good? I don't know. You've memorized them, but are you being diligent to put them into practice? Again, don't. Putting them into practice, making your relationship sure. So one of the tricks the enemy's going to do, this is like the ground. We're taking notes. We're taking in what I'm saying. We've marked down 2 Peter in our Bibles. But then the enemy's going to take and, you don't need to worry about that stuff. You're good. Didn't he say that you're good with God? Then why do you have to worry about that? Or he's going to use the enemy's going to use his religion card, and that's from Satan. Religion is a creation of the devil. He likes to play religion, and so he's like, ooh, you should memorize it in this version and that version and that version and the Greek, and then you'll be perfect. He's going to turn into an academic exercise. And if it falls into that, you've fallen into Satan's trap. So you got two extremes. One of them, you forget to do anything about. The other one, you become religious about knowing these words, but you never know the word. What does John tell us? In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus, the Word. That's who you need to know. Before any of the words mean anything, you have to know the Word. See, we can't go back and we can't add to yesterday's faith. We can't add to last week's virtue. We can't add knowledge last month. We only have today to work with. So don't let, that's another one. The enemy's going to come and like, yeah, but you remember, you know, yesterday, yeah, you said a curse word. You know, yeah, you know what you did last week. You know, last month. You remember last year. You remember back in high school. Get behind me, Satan. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a command. That's a promise. That's a promise from the Bible. Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. He will flee from the God that's in you. You have nothing. Satan isn't afraid of you, but he's afraid of God in you. He's afraid of Jesus in you. He's afraid of the Holy Spirit in you. And the only way the Holy Spirit can work is if you're submitted to him. See, you have to submit to him. He's not submissive to you. You know, in your spirit, you don't go, Holy Spirit, get him now. Go get him. Satan's coming at me. Go get him now. Holy Spirit's like, you've talked to me all day. Now you want me to come do something? Where were you this morning? Oh, well, why don't you go get that newscaster you were busy watching this morning? Why don't you go get him to go resist the devil for you? How about that music program that you have to listen to every morning? Go get that musician to resist the devil for you. How about that? Submit yourself, therefore, unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. understanding the relationship, understanding our security in relationship, then we can have the ability to diligently seek after these things. We're adding to them because we're studying to show ourselves approved. We study these things. We want to be approved. We don't want to stumble. We want to fulfill the purpose because Christ came and died on a cross. God sent his only begotten Son to die for you, to bleed, to be beaten, to be whipped. The Creator. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that nothing was created without him. He was the Creator and the Sustainer. Debunk all those people who's like, well, yeah, God used the Big Bang to put this thing in motion and left and went on vacation somewhere. No, every moment, every second of the day, God is holding this thing together. Jesus is holding it. Your very breath that you're getting, the very fact your atoms don't just blow apart into nothingness is a gift from God. It's all because of the grace of God. And now he wants you to do something. I don't know what your something is. My something is sharing this with you today. We'll see what tomorrow's something is. We'll see what this afternoon's something is. It'll probably be different. But don't let the enemy come and beat you up over yesterday's failure. Don't let the enemy come and puff you up over yesterday's success. Your focus needs to be on Jesus. Your focus needs to be on what he's done, what he's accomplished, and then adding these things to it. See, if we have faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, we can cast mountains into seas. So we need to start. It doesn't take a lot. You know, you don't have to have great faith to start adding to it virtue. Just that small little bit of faith. Then add some virtue. Add some knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Bible. Not, oh, well, that was actually a Greek verb that means, no, not that kind of knowledge. Experiential knowledge. I use this one all the time, and I'm going to keep using it because it's a good one. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit, not a vegetable. Wisdom is knowing it doesn't belong in a fruit salad. We need to move beyond knowledge into wisdom. Wisdom, knowledge applied, knowledge useful. So that's one of the knocks my wife makes against me is I like to learn things. She goes, but why are you putting it into use? Are other people benefiting from your knowledge? That'll be for you all to answer. I don't know. I'm trying. At least I'm trying. I'm trying to share this. I tried with my kids. I don't know how well that worked. They can answer that one. They probably got tired of hearing it. I do know this, that you did. I have found that I got smarter as they got older. I did get a little bit smarter as they got to be 23, 24, 25. You know when I'm really smart is when they get the paperwork, when it's time to fill out the annual benefit package from work. I suddenly become the smartest man they know. Because they need help with that thing. When it was 17, I couldn't get them to pay attention. Now they... But no, that's, we were there too, right? All of us did that. All of us had to go through that. So don't allow religion or the enemy to keep you from being diligent. See, religion will make you lazy. That's the bad thing about religion. It'll make you lazy. That's what happened with the Pharisees. Do you know if you go back and read the Bible, it tells you the day Jesus was going to come into Jerusalem on the donkey? It told them the day, the year and the day. If you go back, you can do some math and you can figure it out. Why did they miss it? Because they had become lazy. They weren't like the Bereans searching the scripture daily. They were searching their commentaries and their teachings and their rabbinical writings daily, but they weren't searching the scriptures daily. They missed it. They even told the wise men, Bethlehem of Judea. That's where the Savior will be born. They knew it. They had knowledge. Wisdom is they got on their camera and followed him. None of them did that. The wise men went, but the religious leaders weren't wise. They had knowledge. They knew where to find the Savior. They just didn't make the journey to do it because they weren't being diligent. They may have been diligent to the words, but they weren't being diligent to the Word, capital W. Jesus. If they were diligent to the Spirit, they would have followed those wise men. But they didn't. Why not religion? And that'll keep you from God every time. As soon as this becomes a religious exercise, throw it away. Forget about it. It's no good. That's why the Ten Commandment monuments, everybody makes a big deal about those. And I understand why we want Ten Commandment monuments in front of courthouses and things like that. It's a recognition of our history, and I understand that. But do those people get that? Before you get upset about a Ten Commandment monument being torn down, have you been diligent about adding to your faith virtue? Because those words inscribed on a rock and those by men aren't going to do you any good. You can go protest and march up and down to keep your Ten Commandment statue, but if you don't have a change of heart, if you don't have the Lord leading your life, it's of no good. To paraphrase Jesus, even the lost can do that. In fact, the lost do that. They march for their own cause. You're just the same as them. That's what religion will do. It'll make you indistinguishable from the world. So don't allow the evil of religion to come in and rob you from this gift, these attributes, these trail markers that you follow that leads to making sure you're calling election sure. The best part is you follow these, you don't stumble. See, Peter wrote that because he understood stumbling was an option, right? I mean, it's Peter. We've got his biography. He stumbled. He understood stumbling was a possibility. Failure was an option in Peter's world. But by the time he wrote this, he had come to a conclusion. Here's how you don't stumble. I mean, he had faith. He saw Jesus. He walked on water with Jesus. He saw the fish. He saw the miracle of thousands being fed. He saw people healed. He saw the Spirit, God, come down. He heard God speaking to Jesus. He saw all these things. He had faith. But then in the garden, he runs away. Had he added to his faith virtue? Had added virtue knowledge. Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be turned over. He's going to be killed. He's going to be crucified. But on the third day, he's going to rise again. No, far be it from you. No, Lord, that can't happen. He was getting knowledge, but he wasn't taking it in. It wasn't wisdom. This is for our benefit. It's for your benefit, Peter. If I go to the cross and I die, it's for your benefit. And I know you're going to be sad when I go away, but this is for your benefit too, because then I get to send the Holy Spirit. And then you're going to receive power, and then you're going to go out, Peter, and you're going to preach to 4,000 people, and they're going to get saved. Even better, they're going to hear you in their own tongue, even though you don't know how to speak Greek or Cretan or Egyptian. They're all going to hear you in that tongue because I'm going to do that. I'm going to work in you. See, Peter knew failure was an option. He also knew how to move past it. See, Peter and Judas both failed that night. Peter and Judas both failed that same night. It destroyed one and it broke the other. So the Lord can use a broken vessel. In fact, that's what he needs. When you stumble, let it break you. Don't let it destroy you. Let it break you so you can come back and the Lord's strength stronger. So he can use a broken spirit. It's like a wild horse. You can't ride a wild horse, but once you break it, it's useful now. And that's what the Lord's looking at. It's like, yeah, you failed yesterday. Good, you recognize that. Good, you're broken now. Good. Now let's take your faith and add to it virtue. And we're going to add a little bit of knowledge. We're going to add perseverance. We're going to add self-control. We're going to add godliness. Brotherly kindness. And love. If we add these things, we will not stumble. I have a new sports analogy. I don't always have a sports analogy. I'm leaving football behind. We need to develop a mindset like a goalie in hockey. Hockey goalie. He's got to have a short memory. Whether you just made this awesome diving, stick side, glove save, acrobatic move, or they just beat you with some dribble or pass you that you didn't notice. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It is what it is. It got by you or you saved it, whatever. The ref is about to drop the puck again. They don't have long timeouts in hockey. That's one of the reasons I like it. It moves. There's not a lot of time. The ref grabs the puck, he goes over, and we're about to drop it again. Are you ready? You can't be moping or celebrating what you just did. He's about to drop it. Are you ready? That's the thing. We've got to get that mindset. We're ready. Yeah, you got one by me, Satan, but you're not getting another one. I'm ready. You see, I blocked that one, but that doesn't matter. I'm ready for the next one. I'm ready. Don't give Satan an open net. Show up, suit up, ready each and every day. Having added what Peter tells us so we don't stumble. Because if we have those things, if they abound in us, we will not stumble. Our calling and election will be sure and will be useful to the purposes and plans that the Holy Spirit has for us. See, God has given us, each and every one of us, a mission, something that we're to accomplish, and so we need to be faithful to Him. We need to be ready every day. Don't allow yesterday mishaps, missteps keep you from today's blessings. Because there's a blessing in every day. You just have to be diligent and seek after it. If you diligently seek that blessing, you will find it. Because you'll find Jesus there. And when Jesus shows up, you will be blessed. So that's what he had. He had wanted me to share that with you guys, and I hope it encouraged you. I hope it spoke to you as it did me. We're going to go ahead and close here in just a moment. Before we do, the altar is open. If for any reason you want to come forward and pray, you want anyone to pray with you, me, Lewis, Mary will be happy to do so. But heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to go ahead and close here in just a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the word. We thank you for Jesus, for his sacrifice, for his making all this possible, for allowing us to open his word and the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what he has for us. Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that you didn't just save us, but you want to give us life and life more abundantly. You want to give us a victorious life, a successful life that may not look like what the world says success is, but your success. And that's what we want, is your success and your peace, not as the world gives us, but we want your peace. And we want to be useful. You've done so much for us. We want to do what you have for us to do. Help us, Father. Make us sensitive to your leading so we can be hearing what your plan is for us, what your purpose is for us. And then give us your courage to move forward and do whatever it is you tell us to do. Father, we thank you for each and every person that's present here, for those that give their time, talent, finances to make this church possible. We ask that you would bless each and every one of them. Bless those that are visiting with us today, those that are blessed us with their attendance. We ask that you just bless them back. Father God, we thank you for all that you do for us. And most importantly, Jesus, we thank you for your obedience of death on a cross that makes everything, our very existence, possible. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Does everyone stand for just a moment? The most difficult thing that we have in submitting ourselves unto God is self-control. And it begins with submission. When we have a service like this, or whenever you get up every morning, you have the opportunity to make the decision that I'm going to talk and I'm going to walk with Jesus today. I'm going to submit myself unto God. And the easiest thing that you can do is do that every morning when you first get up. Just get in the habit of saying, not as a habit more or less, but just get up in the morning and just saying, really, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. This is the day you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Start it off that way. And then say, I need your help. I submit my day. I submit myself to you this day. I know I can't get through this day and do all the things I'm supposed to do without you. And develop a knowledgeable relationship with him. As you go through your day, spend time talking to him. I stress this over and over and over again. Our bodies are the habitation of God through the Spirit. You can talk to Jesus anytime, any place. He knows your thoughts. He understands what you're going through at any moment. Just learn how to develop a relationship with him. And it begins with submission. Amen. And then he gives us, he says, work out your own salvation. We have to work that out. He tells us to. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He just quoted that. Okay. Have a good day, everybody. God bless.